This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
But joining us now on the SDCCU Fan Hotline, Spectrum Sportsnet's Mike Bresnahan joins us here. Mike, how are you doing today?
Doing well, guys. The lottery balls are going to drop in about half an hour or so, so we'll have a pretty good idea of where the Lakers stand in the draft after that. So kind of some anticipation here in the Spectrum Sportsnet newsroom, that's for sure.
But the 2% chance, so it's a long shot, but hey, crazier things have happened in this lottery, so who knows?
It is. Yeah, you're exactly right. There's a 2% chance they get the top pick, only about a 9.5% chance they move up to the top four. There's actually a bigger chance they fall a spot. There's about a 12.5% chance they drop from 11 to 12.
Oh, no, maybe, Tony.
I know. Maybe one of the teams below them vaults them or something like that. But you just never know. That would definitely reinvigorate some energy into the Laker fan base if they do get one of these top four picks. There's some pretty good players in a very top-heavy draft.
Mike, let's stay with the draft. The Lakers have been so focused on actually hiring a coach and putting a staff that there hasn't been a lot of conversation on the draft and who they may be looking at to take. What's the word? Who are the Lakers excited about in this draft? We know who the top four guys, but considering that the Lakers are unlikely to get to that spot, they're in an 11 spot right now based on, you know, the percentages and whatnot. Who is the guy that they're highlighting?
You know, a couple of the mock drafts have them looking at Bol Bol from the University of Oregon. Yeah. He was having a pretty good season until he got hurt right around the midpoint of it and had to sit out the rest of the ways. He's a big, obviously he's got some pretty good lineage with his dad being Manute Bol. But the Lakers needed a side. Do we want to go for a shooter? You know, that was a huge problem spot for them last season. Actually, the last few seasons, they were 29th in three-point shooting when their season ended back in April. They were 29th last season as well. So they've really been having some trouble spots as far as getting the three-point shot going. And even that predated LeBron arriving. Yeah. You know that if they're sitting at 11, there's a good shooter athlete there, then they might go with him too.
Mike, how did the Lakers couch the season they just finished? Because it was two different seasons. There was one before Christmas where they were really one of the better teams in the Western Conference, and they're knocking people off, and they were looking very much like not just a playoff team, but one that might even get a home court. And then, you know, LeBron gets hurt, and he's gone for so long that they just never kind of get it back together. So, assuming he's going to be healthy and ready to play next year, I mean, how do they kind of factor all of those things together in putting together next year's team?
Yeah, it's funny. If you talk to James Worthy, one of my coworkers here at Spectrum Sportsnet, and he'll just kind of shake his head and say, Christmas. That's when it started to end for the Lakers. And you're like, what's wrong with Christmas, James? What's wrong with you? And, of course, he says, you know, that they beat Golden State that night by 26 points up in Oakland, but they also lost LeBron James for 7 weeks almost. So that was really the beginning of the end when he strained his groin just a few minutes into that third quarter. And they never quite recovered. You know, they lost really good positioning. They were fourth in the West after that victory, obviously in position to host a first-round playoff series if it held true for the next few months. But I do think defense and shooting is really the key going forward. Luke Walton always emphasized defense, and it happened in spurts. But they were a bottom half of the NBA in defensive rating this past season. And like I already said, God, three-point shooting is so – it's so many teams out there right now. They're just drilling threes. They'll have guys who hit four and five a night. And it's just the Lakers, in some of these games, you know, they'd be outscored by 24, 27, even 30 points behind the arc. And you just can't start a game down 27-0 like that, hypothetically.
Spectrum Sportsnet's Mike Bresnahan joins us here on the SDCCU Fan Hotline. Mike, from the outside looking in, at least, it seems as though the organization had a little bit of dysfunction as it pertains to this coaching search. At first, you know, Monty Williams and Ty Lue come to the front as far as possible head coaches. Monty Williams takes the Sun job. Ty Lue negotiates and break down. And they end up with, I think, a pretty good coach in Frank Vogel. How do the Lakers feel about how their coaching search ended?
You know, I think they're happy with the years. Obviously, that was a big deal. They wanted a coach for 3 years, not for five or anything.
Why was that, by the way?
You know, tied directly to LeBron's contract, especially when you're talking about Ty Lue. He lasted six games into this past season before he was let go by Cleveland. And the simple reason is because they lost LeBron a few months before that to the Lakers. So, you know, these coaches don't have much shelf life once LeBron leaves their franchise. Now, you know, obviously, down in Miami, Spoelstra kind of has struck that little theory down. He's withstood the test of time down there. But I think the Lakers are looking entirely at LeBron's contract. They want a guy to be here for the next 3 years. That's the duration of his contract. Actually, the third year is a player option for LeBron. So it might only be 2 years of LeBron. Or maybe he really likes it here and he wants to tack on another year or two once the 3 years expire. So Lakers happy to get a guy to fill that three-year slot. Disappointment, I'm sure, a little bit on their part that they didn't get Ty Lue. It seemed like a really good fix, kind of a plug-and-play option. He and LeBron obviously very familiar with each other. Unfortunately, the Lakers don't have the all-stars surrounding LeBron like Ty Lue and he had back in Cleveland, but at least there's definitely a familiarity there with how to coach and motivate a player like LeBron James.
Talked a lot of NBA people about, you know, the free agent thing and everybody, you know, trying to make predictions as to where guys are going to wind up and the Kawhi Leonards of the world and things like this. And I personally, I'm surprised that I hear the Clippers is a better destination spot than the Lakers. I understand the Clippers were better than the Lakers this year. I understand the Doc Rivers thing and you know, they got into the postseason, had a nice, fun team. I just have trouble believing from this distance away that the Clippers would ever be a more popular destination spot than the Lakers. So has it really truly changed in Los Angeles, or is this just people kind of overreacting to what happened in the last couple of years?
Well, last I checked, the Clippers have never been past the second round.
Yeah.
And until that changes, they're still the Clippers and the Lakers are still the Lakers. Now, you know, the danger here is saying, well, now, wait a sec. The Clippers, you know, they're young, they're fun, they're rebuilding, they've got some money to spend. That's what people said during Lob City that just ended a couple years ago when they had Blake and DeAndre and obviously Chris Paul. And again, they never could get to the conference finals. So you're kind of in danger, if you're a Clipper fan, of repeating history by saying, yeah, we're young, we're fun, we're going to get some good players. And it might happen, but I'm going to take the wait-and-see attack on that one, because, you know, last I checked, the Lakers still had 16 banners in their practice facility celebrating 16 hard-earned championships. So I'm gonna take a pass on that one if you want me to.
I am too.
Take a hard pass.
Yeah, I am too. I mean, I agree with you 100%. It's just that I there's a lot of people we've had on, Tony, that kind of seem to indicate, well, no, the Clippers is a better spot to go to, and I just never, having grown up in L.A., I can't believe it. You know, so we'll see.
Yeah, and you know, they do have a coach who's been there. He's been entrenched there for several years, no doubt about it. And you know, they've got some pretty good young players, so you can't really, you know, throw dirt on them or anything like that. But can they land that big time free agent? I'll be curious to see if they can. Obviously, Kawhi Leonard has been rumored to go there for like 7 years now, it seems. But I'm gonna be very eager to see how those first few days of July shake down once the gates open on free agency.
Mike, how do the Lakers avoid the elephant in the room of Jason Kidd being on this staff with Frank Vogel? Because everybody's going to assume if the Lakers get off to a slow start that Jason Kidd is somehow in the waiting. How do the Lakers plan to kind of navigate that water a little bit?
Yeah, that's a great question. I don't know what the answer is to that. And the truth is, you know, Frank obviously knew that Jason Kidd was going to be part of the equation, or else he would not have agreed to do this. There's no doubt in my mind that he knew about it going in, and he seemed okay with it. You know, 3 years and almost $20 million will tend to make a lot of nervousness go away. But I guess it shows you that how confident Frank is as a coach. He doesn't seem too concerned about it. And the stories that are out there saying, you know, they hope that Jason Kidd can help Lonzo, who was a very similar player to Jason Kidd. Jason Kidd was not hitting threes his first few years in the league. I think we all know that. And he turned into a pretty, you know, a fairly reliable three-point shooter. And Lonzo is under 30% for his NBA career.
Yeah.
His free throws are under 50%. Think about that, a point guard who's stuck in the 40 percentile range for free throws. And so someone needs to just kind of really take Lonzo Ball, still, you know, in his early 20s, under their wing. And Jason Kidd seems to be that guy. And far as I can tell, Frank Vogel signed off on it.
Well, Mike, we got about 3 minutes remaining before you got to get in front of that TV to watch these ping pong balls. So we're going to let you get out of here. Always appreciate you coming on, and we'll chat again soon.
Great stuff, Mike. Thanks.
All right, guys. Great talk with you as always.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.